Good morning. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, we've had a time in the old church here this morning, haven't we? For some of you visitors, in case you didn't realize this morning, you stepped into a Pentecostal church. I don't know if you know that or not. And don't worry about sneaking out the door and leaving, because you've already been mocked. They already saw you. So just sit back and enjoy the things of God. I'm telling you, I love to be in a position. Jake, can you turn me down just a little bit, son? That's my grandson. I love to be in a church where the freedom of the Lord is, where I can worship, I can lift my hands and praise God and praise His glorious name without fear of somebody making fun of me or setting me down. Oh, they do that. I didn't know if you know that or not. Oh, yeah, some churches you go in, and I'm not picking on any certain church, but there's some churches that you go in that you have to be very reserved. You have to be careful. But you know one thing? I thank God for the freedom this morning. In case you didn't understand what was taking place this morning, the message in tongues, the interpretation, and the word, that's all the manifestations of God. It's in the Word of God. Look it up. I'm like a friend of mine. She told her sister-in-law came and talked to her about the tongues and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the lady didn't believe it. And her sister-in-law looked at her and she says, "Nadine, it's in the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, we need to believe it," she said. "And it's real." Oh, I know people preach it's not for today, but I haven't seen that yet. I haven't found that scripture yet where it says that. And if you can convince me and show me in the Word of God, then I will believe it. But I got news for you. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You're not going to convince me, because I've experienced it. Hallelujah. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Not too long ago, let me tell you something. God showed me some things about His wonderful works and His mighty power. It hasn't stopped one bit. It hasn't changed. It's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's going to keep going on till Christ comes back. When that which is perfect has come, hallelujah, the perfect one, when He comes, then all of this will cease, because we won't have any need of it. Praise God. I appreciate you being here today, all our visitors. We're so glad that you could come and worship with us. Man, I'm going to tell you, Gary, that song this morning. Oh, let me tell you something. I love that song. I love that song. That first song we sung, I'm telling you, I was on a cruise ship one time. You probably heard me tell this. And I'm coming down along. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, you're going to where your rooms are. It's a long haul. You can just, as far as you can see, when you're on a ship about 1,000 feet long, you just imagine looking 1,000 feet down a hallway, and all you see is rooms on the side, and the hall is wide open. I'm going down through this thing, and it was four of us, and we were walking, and the song hit me. Oh, happy day. I'm telling you, I began to bellow that song in that hallway. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed, He washed my sins away. And about that time, a door flew open. These little girls stuck their head out, and they began to sing it. You never know how you're going to touch somebody's life when you give glory and praise unto God. You never know what's going on in a person's heart. And when you begin to sing the songs of Zion, or when you begin to praise God, what that Spirit of God can take just a song or just a word, and He can multiply it and use it to lift somebody up. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the glory of God, it is for salvation." Let me tell you something. Thank God. And I want to praise Him the rest of my days and every day where I'm at. When I can praise God and God gives me the opportunity, I want to use that opportunity to reach souls for him and to give him glory and praise. I don't care where it's at. Some people won't even bow their heads in a restaurant and say the blessing over their food. One man said he bowed his head one time. He was praying over his food. The woman had just said it, said she was kind of rough. He said, but I bowed my head, and first thing I know, she hollered, "What's wrong with them eggs?" He said, I'm just blessing it. Was nothing wrong with the eggs. He was just giving God thanksgiving for it. Yes, he was. Hallelujah. How many of you know we serve a powerful and mighty God? Oh, yes, we do. Bobby, I like that song, brother. Thank you for that song. Yes, indeed. I'm telling you, I talked to my brother this morning. He said, I was walking around the parking lot. I see Bobby sometimes when I come by. Bobby walks his little dog. Bobby's out there singing the songs of Zion and giving God praise. Sometimes you may see tears falling from his eyes. Well, I'm telling you, but you know what? That's a good thing, isn't it? We need more of that. We need more of it. We need it in our church. We need it in our homes. I'm telling you, as we see the day approaching, we need more of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Oh, I can take my time today. I forgot. Man, I can just preach and on and on and on. We'll go eat today. How many of you know that? We got a meal, man. I'm telling you, we got a meal being prepared, everything. I will tell you, we got some good cooks in this church, especially my wife. If you don't think she ain't a good cook, just look at me. You want to look at my profile. I'm telling you. I used to take food to work with me, and this one guy down there said, if I was married to that woman, I'd weigh 400 pounds, he said. Yes, indeed. So I can take my sweet old time today, can't I? Oh, that was mighty weak. I know what some of you are saying. Look, all of us ain't going to stay. Some of us are going to a restaurant somewhere today. Well, all right. We'll get through the message, and God, I'm going to give you what God has given me. God has showed me something this week, and I was fasting and praying. And I want to be honest with you. I've struggled. I've struggled this week. The enemy of my soul has come against me preparing this message. And even this morning, I walked the floor and I prayed. I've been praying in the church, walking the floor. And some of you may have seen me walking back and forth. I've been under the stairwell praying and seeking God for the message. But let me tell you something. The liberty came when Amanda asked me to pray. Oh, praise God. The breakthrough came when she asked me to pray. Let me tell you something. I don't know what you're struggling with today. I don't know what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your life, but I want you to know one thing. God can set you free. Amen. He can set you free, and he can give you the peace that you need because he has the power. He has the power. Yes, indeed. All right, let's get into the message a little bit. Now, we'll get you next door here where everybody can eat and have a good time of fellowship. How many of you know fellowship is a good thing? It's a part of serving God. It is. I tell you, I like to sit down and eat and enjoy my food with my brothers and sisters and just laugh and talk. They gave me a surprise birthday party, by the way, last Saturday, and it was a surprise. I come in again. They gave me one once before when I retired. I didn't have a clue about it. I'd been in the woods cutting wood all day, and I come out the woods. I had my old coat on, my old ragged jeans. And my son-in-law says, are you going to take a shower before we go? I said, no, we're just going over to Cheryl's house. That's my niece. I said, no, I ain't worried about all that. We're just going over to her house. Well, lo and behold, we come to the church, and the fellowship hall was full of people when I walked in. Never been so embarrassed in all my life. Same thing happened again Saturday. We were supposed to have our family done, and I said, man, I ain't going to dress up and all that stuff. Well, I get here, and it was a surprise birthday party. So I'm telling you, my wife said, leave it to you, she said. You can't go from the living room to the bathroom without ironing your jeans and putting the shirt on, she said. And then when I plan something like this, you come with your ragged clothes on. You know one thing? God doesn't care, does he? Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 21. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, that we can gather in your name, Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for your word is real and mighty and powerful, Lord. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Father. Lord, your word is faithful and true. It's yea and amen. And Lord, we thank you today, God, that we can stand upon your word, Lord. And Father, I just ask you today that you would give your servant the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord. Father, help me to rightly divide your word today. Father, bless these that are here today, Lord. Father, that they would hear what you have given me for this church today, Lord. Father, that they would apply it to their hearts and their lives today, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray, amen. Now, I've got one scripture I'm going to read to you this morning. Now, I may read some more and I may not. It all depends on the way the Spirit of God leads me, and that's the way I'm going. But in Romans 4, verse 21, and it's talking about Abraham, he said, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform," or he had the power to perform. What they're saying is talking about God, what God has promised. How many of you know that this book is full of promises for you and I? Every one of them are for you and I. We have to take them by faith. God has made the promise. God has the power to fulfill those promises. Now, God showed me four different areas in the Word, some in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. It was three in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament this morning. Now, I know some people, they don't like teaching out the Old Testament. They said, "Oh, that was the Old Covenant, and we are New Testament church now." Let me tell you something. If you will read the New Testament and you will study the New Testament, you will see where Christ and the apostles, all of them, used and referenced back to the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. Every what's the little song say? Every chapter, every verse, every line is mine. It's for you and I. We can't say that's not important. All of the Word of God is important to us. Study the Word of God. Let me tell you something. You can learn things from the Old and the New Testament. You can see the prophecies and see the fulfillments of those prophecies in the New Testament. And it will build up your faith. But I want to turn your attention today to Amos chapter 7. And God had called Amos. Amos, let me give you a little background on Amos. Amos was a sheep herder. He was a sheep herder, sheep breeder. It all depends on what versions you're reading. But he was also a fruit gatherer. He said, "I was a gatherer of the summer fruits." In other words, he was like me. He was a country bumpkin. He worked the fields and he done those things. And he was pleased to do those things. He had no problem doing with him. But one day, God taps him on the shoulder. God speaks to his heart and says, "Amos, I got a message for a group of people. And I want you to take that message and I want you to deliver it to them." You ever had God to ask you to do anything? You ever had anybody to make you a promise that they didn't keep? Now, I'm going to say a little something this morning, and I might start a little something, but that's not my intent. Wives and husbands. How many of you remember the vows that you took? You remember that? I don't care how long ago it's been. You remember those vows. You remember saying, "I do." If you never remember anything in your life, you remember that, don't you? You remember the promise you made to each other? You're mighty quiet today. You remember the promise that you made? Think about it. I want you to think about it today. Have you kept it? Have you kept those promises? "Oh, me and my wife, we've been married for 55 years, and we ain't never had an argument." Somebody has taken a whole lot, is all I can say. That's been a one-sided marriage. Because when two people live in the same household for 55 years, you're going to have some disagreements. Let me tell you something. There's disagreements when you ain't been married but 3 months. Listen, oh man. Let me move on. You know what? God made a promise. He called Amos. He says, "Amos, I want you to go to the I want you to go to the house of Jerusalem. I want you to go to the house of Israel, the northern tribe of Israel. And Judah was from the southern tribe. Amos was from the southern tribe, Judah. And it was a smaller group of people than it was for Israel, the northern tribe. He says, I've got a message and I want you to deliver it. And I want you to take it to them and I'm going to be with you. And Amos went to Israel and he began to prophesy the destruction of Israel because of their idol worship and because of their disobedience unto God and the way that they had gone, they had turned away from God. And God had made them a promise before. If you will follow me and keep my laws and my decrees and my statutes, he told them he would bless them. But if you turn from me, God said, I will curse you. And he will turn his face from you. Amos goes to these people. And he begins to prophesy and he begins to tell them. How many of you know that when God gives us something to do or when we're serving God, we're gonna meet opposition. We're going to face difficulties and we're going to face oppositions. It doesn't always go smooth, does it? My goodness, church, what's wrong this morning? Lord, we're in trouble today. How many of you here never have a problem? Man, I want to see your hand because I want to talk to you after church. Yes, indeed. Israel was the problem. It wasn't God, but it was Israel. And a lot of times it's not God, it's us. The majority of the time, it's always us that's in trouble with God because we haven't done what God said for us to do. God made promises to us. This book is full of those promises, and God will keep his side of the bargain. But a lot of times we don't, do we? And you know what? I'm preaching to you this morning, but I've already been preached to by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that this morning. You can't leave here this morning and go tell somebody, oh, that man, he pointed his finger at us, his old ugly finger. He pointed at us and told us all this stuff. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit has given me one good one this week. It's been up and down for me. And Lord, I shook my head. Father, how in this world can I preach this morning? The Lord said, you preach what I say. You do what I tell you to do. A whole lot of asking forgiveness. How many of you know we have to do that every now and then? You know what? That's one of the biggest, the biggest words in the English vocabulary, or in any language for that matter. There's one word that is so hard for us to get out. Oh, man, we can sing praises of God. We can sing hallelujah. We can just jump up and down and everything. But when we've done something that we know we shouldn't or we have offended somebody, that word, I'm sorry, is the worst word of the English language for us to say. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth this morning. Am I not? Am I not? Amos met opposition. If you look in the 7th chapter, verses 12 through 17, he met opposition by the high priest. The high priest, stop and think about this. He was the top dog. He was the head man. And he went to Amaziah and he told Amaziah, you go back home. You need to carry that stuff back home. We don't want to hear it here. You're talking about our king, and you're prophesying all of this stuff here. You shouldn't be doing that. Go back home and prophesy for bread. You see, Amos run up on some opposition there. You get out of here. We don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people today don't want to hear that kind of preaching. They don't want you to tell them where they're living. They don't want, when God gives a man a message and that man delivers, they want to pick at the man that's giving it. Listen to me. That man is speaking the message that God has put in his heart. You see, it's not me that brought this message. It's God that gave me the message this morning. And I'm to preach it the way God has given it to me. And that's the way I'm going to preach it. And if you don't like it, you know what I say? Take it up with God. You want to say something to me? Say it to me when I leave the church. Had a man met me at the back door one day. Hey, buddy. I said, yes, sir. God talks to you? I said, yeah, God talks to me. He speaks to you. I said, yes, he speaks to me. And then it hit me. I said, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. I said, are you saved? Well, yeah. I said, did God speak to you? Not like you're talking about. Let me tell you something. Most of the time when you get an answer, you know right then where the heart is with that person. When a man tells me, hey, buddy, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, and the man tells me to my face, that's none of your business. That's between me and God. He gave me his answer. I know what that answer is. But that's the way we should be. We should give it like God gives it to us and not beat around the bush with it, not waver with it, not try to come up with some lame excuse. Amaziah told him, he said, go home and prophesy. Get out of here. We don't want to hear that stuff here. You are, in fact, Amaziah accused him of treason. He accused him of treason. But you know what the Word of God says? Amos set his face like flint. He didn't waver. And he didn't hem-haw. In case you didn't know, that's Southern talk for kind of beating around the bush. You know what I'm saying? That hem-haw. But he looked him straight in the face and he told him what God had told him. He said, listen to me. I wasn't a prophet to start with. He said, I was a sheep herder and a gatherer of the fruits. And one day, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here now, but if you read it, that's basically what it says. I was working and God spoke to me. And he told me to bring this message to you and these people at Jerusalem. He said, I'm not even a professional. They accused him of that. You're not even a professional prophet. You're not like these prophets here that's in our city. You're not like those making fun of him. You're not even a professional prophet. Amaziah said, I didn't want to be a prophet. But when God gave me a message, he says, I got a message from God and I'm going to deliver that message. God gave me the message to bring to you. Now, whether you heed to it or whether you not, if you go on in there and you begin to read and you read Amaziah, what Amaziah said to him, then the prophet prophesied to him what was going to happen to him and his family. Because you see, he tried to stop the word of God. He tried to stop that prophet from prophesying what God had said he would do. But God had the power, and Amos relied on what God was giving him and on the power that God had to deliver that message. And he gave it to him. He said he had set his feet like feet. He had set his face like flint. Isaiah 57 says, "For the Lord God will help me." How many of you know God will help you, regardless of the situation you're in, regardless of what God has asked you to do? God will help you. If God tells you to go speak to somebody about their salvation, God has already prepared the way for you. If God has given you a task to do, God will give you the resources to do it. He says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. God will not disgrace you. You will not be embarrassed. The Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman, and he will not embarrass you. Some of these people say, well, what about them people that run around the church and jump up and down? They're not embarrassed. Oh, I'm telling you, if you could feel, oh, there goes that feeling stuff again. Oh, let me tell you something. I like what one of the old pastors said years ago. It's better felt than telt. Lord have mercy. If you could experience what that person is experiencing, I'm telling you, instead of you saying, oh my goodness, look at them, you be saying, oh my goodness, God, give me some of it. Praise God. Lord, touch me the same way. My uncle had passed away, and my mother and the family had gathered there, and they was having a meal, and my mother began to pray and began to speak in tongues. And one of my uncles run in the bathroom, and he shut himself in and locked the door, and he began to weep. And he began to weep and weep. He said, I couldn't stop it, he said. And I knew, he said, somebody was going to come and knock on that door. They wanted me to come out. He said, they'd like to beat the door down. He said, trying to get me out. But I didn't want to go out there. He said, and all I could think of is, God, let me have a little of what that woman has. That man was an alcoholic. He knew, and she knew, the promises of God. When you seek God for your loved ones and God has promised you something, you hold on to that promise. Don't you give up. But you hold on because God has the power to see that promise through. He never fails and he never relents on his promises. And it won't long after that, that man gave his life to Jesus Christ, and immediately like that, God took the alcohol from him. Praise God. He's gone on to be with Jesus now. But praise be to God. Praise God. The promises that God made. They're reaping. The family is reaping those things. Hallelujah. I remember him telling me. He said, I want to tell you something. He used to run from me when he saw me coming. I used to run from him because I had to work for him. I used to run from him because I knew he was going to work the life out of me. Because he had to work me because he couldn't have the other people saying, hey, yeah, that's your kinfolk. You're letting him slide. So he worked the life out of me. Well, I used to run when I saw him coming. But when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I didn't run anymore. I stood the ground. And when he come around, I began to give him the word of God. And the word of God says, if you will open your mouth, he will fill it. And I began to tell him about the love of Jesus. And you know one thing? He started running. He told me this. He said, whenever I saw you coming, he said, I was going the other way. He said, because I knew that you was going to witness to me. He said, I told you one time I didn't even have a coat to wear to church. He said, and you offered to give me yours. I saw that same man one day. Another man came in. And I saw that man go over to this man. And that man, he told that man, he said, cut the equipment off. Cut it off. And he stood there and he led that man to Jesus Christ. That man wept his way to Jesus Christ. Cut the machine back on and went to work. Praise God. God is faithful. And God will do what he says he will do. Let me tell you something. Amos delivered his message. But in the ninth chapter of that same book there, God promised restoration to Israel. If they would repent and turn back to him, God promised them that he would restore them. In Nehemiah was another one. In chapter 1 and verse 4, they had been taken into captivity. And they would begin to go back out of captivity. They had already released one crowd. I believe it was Ezra had taken a group back. And now Nehemiah was going. Nehemiah was, how many of you saw the pastor they interviewed this week? I'm not going to preach on politics today. We've had enough of that. How many of you saw the pastor, Jeffrey, that did the sermon for the inauguration? Well, before they went to the inauguration. Any of you see that? You remember what his sermon was? Huh? Nehemiah. Yes, indeed. He said, I'm not going to lecture the president. I'm going to encourage him. I don't want to lecture you. I want to encourage you with the word of God. I want to encourage you today to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. And Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. In other words, when the king had a drink, Nehemiah had to taste it. How many of you know what the reason was? If Nehemiah dropped to the floor, the king knew somebody was after him. That's right. That's what he was, the king's cupbearer. And he went into the presence of the king. He was saddened in his heart. And he went before the king, and he says, I'd never been in the presence of the king sad before. How many times do we go before the king with sad faces? But how many of you know that the king listens? The king listened to Nehemiah because of God. He could have had Nehemiah killed. But he was gracious and compassionate. How many of you know we serve a compassionate and loving king? Hallelujah. He says, you can come into the throne room. We can go into the Holy of Holies now. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go into the Holy of Holies and we can find an answer. And we can find help in our time of need and trouble. God says, you can boldly. I'm telling you, we can boldly go into that throne room. Before, they couldn't do that. If they went in with sin in their life, it was instant death. But we can go in now, even with sin, and we can go into God with humility and with reverence. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about, church? When I say you can go into the Holy of Holies, you ever had problems and things that just ain't been going right? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe one of your children is sick. Maybe somebody is sick and dying, and you don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to. Maybe there's a problem that you can't talk to somebody else about. He said, you can come into the throne room. And you know the thing about God, he's not going to run tell anybody else but my Heavenly Father. He's going to intercede. The Word of God said he's going to intercede for me. We can go tell him when we can't tell our closest friend. Sometimes we can't tell our husband or our wife. But we can go to God. And we can tell him. And know with a surety that he hears and answers our prayers. You see, Nehemiah, God told him to go back. He wanted him to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. What was significant about Jerusalem? The Word of God said it is the city of the great king. Hallelujah. The city of the great king, Zion. Hallelujah. I like some of the scriptures, and I got them down here this morning somewhere if I can find them. Zephaniah 3:14 says, sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. We need to rejoice in the things of God. That was rejoicing in the house of the Lord this morning. How many of you like that? Oh, praise God. That was good, wasn't it? Wasn't it refreshing? I'm telling you, you may have had a bad week, but you know what? When we come into the presence of God with gladness and singing, oh, praise God, with thanksgiving, it changes the whole outlook, doesn't it? It changes the whole life. All those promises that God made to us, that every one of them belongs to us. And you know one thing? We can count on them. And we can draw off of them. You know what? When we get down and we begin to pray, we need to remind God of his promises. You know, God likes that. God doesn't take an offense in that. He loves that. He likes answering the prayers of his saints. The Word of God said, Nehemiah went back, and he says, when he wept before he went back, he asked what was the state of the people that had went back out of captivity to Jerusalem, and what was Jerusalem's state. He said, it's in shambles. You know what? We may think our lives sometimes are in shambles, but there's one that can restore you. It makes no difference what you've done. He can restore your soul. He can put joy and gladness back into your heart. All you have to do is listen to him and tell him your heart's hidden secrets and put your faith and your trust and your confidence in him and watch what he does. Nehemiah says, when I got back, he said, I didn't tell anyone my intentions. But he says, I surveyed. I went out at night, possibly by the moonlight, and he began to survey the damages. And he began to look over Jerusalem and the temple and all of that that was once thriving and beautiful. It had been burnt. It had been torn down and broke up, and he began to weep. But he knew what God had said, and he knew why God had sent him back to rebuild the walls of the great city, the city of the great king. And he said, it wasn't till the next morning I revealed to the rulers and the people my intentions. And when I revealed it to them, they was all in one mind and one accord. Oh, that little joke that Chris, I'm telling you, Chris. You see, he couldn't remember. It's the only reason he didn't tell you. The Word of God talks about a call. I don't know if y'all knew that or not in the Bible. If you look in Acts, it says they were all in one accord. You know, the Honda accord. You know what I'm talking about? They were all in one accord. That's the joke he was saying. But Nehemiah talked to the people, and they all together. You know what? Chris got up this morning, just a few minutes ago before I got up here, and he's asked us to fast and to pray. Are we in trouble? Maybe that's on your mind. Are we in trouble? No, we're not in trouble. How can we be in trouble when we allow the Holy Spirit to come down in our midst? How can we be in trouble when we depend on God? You see, God has taken us this far. God don't take you this far and let you go. But as long as we walk lockstep with God, hand in hand with Him, praising God along the way, and seeking God and loving one another. You see, that's what the Word of God teaches us, to love one another and to lift one another up, not to put each other down, but to love one another and to encourage one another. That's what it says. Let me tell you something. The more we do of these things, the stronger the body of Christ becomes. The stronger we become. I'm telling you, listen to what the Word says. Listen to what the Word of God says. Nehemiah, they began to rebuild. They began to work together, and they began to put their shoulders to the wheel, and they began to work together. But let me tell you something. Whenever a group of people come together and say, we're going to do thus and so because we want to do what God wants us to do, you're going to meet opposition. You're going to meet trials and tests, and problems are going to come your way. Nehemiah, let me tell you something. He put up with a lot of stuff. At one point, they had to work with their weapon in one hand and the trials and the hammers and the nails in the other hand. But you know what? They trusted God. And in the end, they got the job finished. And sometimes it even comes with inside of the church and where the problem comes, because he met opposition inside of the group of people. They were bringing oppression on their own groups. And Nehemiah dealt with it. And it was corrected. And they began to move on. And the walls were built. At one point, they were made fun of. Have any of you been made fun of before? Huh? That's mighty weak. You have been made fun of before? Yes, indeed. I had a man tell me, get off my porch. We don't want none. Yes, indeed. Can we pray for you? Well, I got the feeling you got the wrong soul today. You know something? That shouldn't bother you. They're not making fun of you. They're making fun of who you serve. Praise God. You ought to count it a joy. Yes, indeed. But pray for them. Pray for them that God will save them. Don't get upset with them. Pray for them. They made fun of Nehemiah. They said if a fox crawled up on this wall, it would fall. But you know what? Nehemiah and the group of people, they kept working just the same. And we go on into there. And they began to, once the work was completed, once Nehemiah He surveyed everything, and they filled the city back up with the people. They brought the people back in. That was, he said, we're going to have a celebration. They began to repent. They began to cleanse everything, and he led the people out, and half of them went up on one side of the wall, and the other half went up on the other side of the wall, and they began to sing the songs of Zion. They begin to worship and praise God like we were this morning. I'm telling you, I love it when God comes down. When we begin to sing the songs of triumph, and when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, and how the Holy Spirit just comes down and descends in our midst, and people begin to weep and lift their hands up and run the aisles and praise God audibly. I love those things. Hallelujah. This is what these people done. They began to sing the songs of Zion. And the word of God said it was so loud that it could be heard afar off. Oh, let me tell you something. Years ago, we didn't have air conditioning, and we had to roll the windows out in the old sanctuary. And we would begin to sing, and there would be complaints from the neighborhood. I remember one preacher said one time in his church, he said the Spirit of God came down and the people were rejoicing. And he said one of the deacons came and got him and said, brother, you need to come to the back of the church. The cops are here. He said, I went to the back of the church. He said, and the cop come up and told me, he says, you need to quieten these people down. We're getting complaints from the neighbors. I like that godly wisdom. He looked at the officer and he said, you go in there and quiet them down. He didn't go in there and quiet them down. He left. Let me tell you something. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And God has set you free. He has set you free to worship Him and to praise His glorious name. I'm getting close to finishing here. I know some of you are getting hungry. You could probably smell the food and you're saying, shut up and let us eat. Zechariah 2:10 says, sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. How many of you are looking for that day? I got news for you. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says in Revelation there's going to be silence for about the space of 30 minutes. That's all the quietness you're going to hear in all of heaven. That's all you're going to hear is about 30 minutes of it. And after that 30 minutes, he said, then I heard a roar, like the roar of many waters rushing and trumpets sounding. Hallelujah. When we get to heaven, let me tell you, there's going to be much rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah. Yes, indeed, it's a promise of God, and we can stand upon those promises. Now, I'm not making fun of you, and I'm not saying anything about you. If you want to be quiet, you be quiet. You want to worship God, you worship Him in your way. But don't you poke fun of me, a big mouth, when I want to open my mouth and give God the glory and the praise. That's all I know how to do. I'm not educated like some of you. I'm not politically correct like some of you. I love Jesus. And God says, you do it the way I tell you to do it. And when I begin to praise Him and I feel that presence of the Spirit of God coming up upon me, it just has to come from my innermost beings. And it comes out like a river. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? What's the matter? You scared to raise your hand? Your neighbor ain't going to poke fun of you this morning. All right. Yes, indeed. Praise God, that river of living water. Oh, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Oh, glory to His name. Psalms 48:1-2 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Matthew 5:34-35 said, but I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. How many of you are looking for that new Jerusalem? I'm telling you, I'm looking for it. I'm waiting. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. How many of you got your ear perked? You know what? A lot of people are perking their ear up to gossip. You ever notice that? Man, that ear stuck out there a country mile when they hear somebody gossiping. All I'm telling you right now. And they got a tongue so long they could stand in the living room and lick it pots in the kitchen. Because they done heard something and they want to run tell it. But you know one thing? We need to be telling the word of God. We need to be out there about our Father's business and not tending to somebody else's business. We ought to be, our ears ought to be in tune and perked up when we hear the word of God. My ear was perked the other night, but I didn't like what I heard. I couldn't help it. I was in Chili's. I like Chili's. You can look at me and tell. I like all the restaurants. I like everything. Ain't nothing I don't like but spinach. But I was sitting there in Chili's, and this couple come in, and I ain't making fun of nobody. They're not here in this church no way. At least I don't see them. If they are, then they need to hear this. They sat down. They got some chips and salsa. And the man bowed his head, and he blessed it. And the next thing that come out of his mouth was blankety blank, 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 blank. I looked across the table at my wife. I seen her eyebrows go up. She didn't know what I was going to do. I almost turned to him and said, "Brother, blessings and cursings don't come from the same mouth. That's the word of God. You don't praise God one minute and swear at somebody else the next. It doesn't work that way. That's what the word of God says. Why are you looking at me like that?" "Well, I know what the word of God says, but you don't know how bad they made me." Yes, I do. I've been there. But I know what the word of God says. Bitter water and sweet water don't come from the same fountain. Be careful what you do when you're in public. Be careful how you conduct yourself. Man, I'm telling you. Do I say the blessing in public? Yes, I do. And I hope people hear me. But I don't do it for show. Now, I'm trying to hurry along here, but y'all making it hard on me. You're being quiet. Genesis 12, God told Abraham, he said, "Abraham, I want you to leave your father. I want you to leave the comfort of your home where you live now, and I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you." That's what he told him. Has God told you to leave your home? What would you do if God spoke to you and said, "I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your country. And I want you to go"? Thank God. Oh, the word of God said, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that bring good news." Thank God for those missionaries that will leave everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, young people. Those that go on these mission trips and stuff. Thank God for these people. Let me tell you something. If you can't go, back them up. Back them with your prayers and your finances if you can. Because then you are part of that ministry. I thank God for those people. He told Abraham, he says, "Abraham, I want you to pull up roots. I want you to take everything." Abraham was a rich man. He had a lot of stuff. He was old up in age. He says, "I'm going to take you somewhere and I'm going to bless you, Abraham." I'm paraphrasing because I know what time it is. Don't turn around and look at that clock. I went to a Baptist church one time, and the preacher got up to preach, and the first thing I know, he grabbed his watch off his arm and slung it backwards. "Now we got that out of the way," he said. He said, "Abraham, I want you to go to a place, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you there." How many of you know that Abraham met a lot of oppositions? How many of you know the story about Abraham? I'm going to raise your hands if I want to see who's been reading the Bible. Oh, yeah. Abraham met a lot of things along the way, didn't he? He went to a place one time and they wanted to take his wife away from him. But God made him a promise. He told him one night, he said, look up, Abraham, and tell me what you see. He looked up to the stars, and he made Abraham a promise. He said, I'm going to make your seed like these stars. But Abraham was up in age, but God made him a promise. He said, he thought to himself, you know, I guess he thought to himself, how in the world can this happen? His body was dead. He was on up in age. But yet he knew what God had said, and he didn't waver from the promise that God had made him. And God kept that promise. He gave him a son. Even in his own old age, him and his wife both were past the childbearing years. But God had made a promise. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing's too small or too great that our God cannot do. God made the promise. Abraham was faithful to God, and the word of God said he counted it unto him as righteousness, his faith in God. He believed God. And that scripture that I read you this morning, that come out of Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to go back and read a little bit of it. It said, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God, through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. How many of you know that when opposition comes, we ought to be strengthened in our faith? If God did it then in your young age, why can't he do it in your old age? What he did then, he can do today and tomorrow and on so on, as long as we serve God and put our faith and trust in him, giving glory to God. Do you give God the glory when God answers a prayer for you? Do you give him praise and glory? Do you tell people, oh, let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what he did this week, how he answered my prayer. I want to tell you what I was going through with, and God answered my prayer. Oh, man, if time permitted this morning, I could go on and on. I played basketball years ago with a man in this church. I didn't have a pair of tennis shoes. I couldn't afford them. That man got tired of me jumping on his feet with my boots. He was a good friend of mine. I don't believe in calling names, but his initials are Calvin Fisher. Calvin said, brother, let's go. We were playing a game of basketball. You remember that, Calvin? Yes, indeed. He took me to Sears and bought me a brand new pair of Converse tennis shoes. Man, I was proud as a peacock. Whew. Well, I wanted to show them off. I jumped on his feet enough. Praise God. Oh, let me tell you something. Time and time again, there would be times that I would be in need, and God, I would go to God and tell him, and I was reminded of God's promise. He said, God is Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. My grace is sufficient for you. I will take care of you. That's what the word of God says. He says, I will take care of you. Why do you worry about the clothes that you wear or the food that you're going to eat? He says, think about the little sparrow. He said, I feed the sparrow, and I care for the sparrow. I care for the lilies of the field. He said, how much more do I count you than a sparrow? If God takes care of those things, how much more will he do for us if we just trust him and put our trust and our confidence in him? Makes no difference what the situations come or the difficulties that come in our lives. When we're doing the work of God, if we'll have our faith and our confidence in him, God has the power. He has the power to see us through that thing. And he will lead us through. My little granddaughter and myself sat on the porch one day, listened to the birds singing. She said, Granddaddy, why are them birds tweeting like that? Why are they singing like that? Oh, man, I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God welled up in me. I said, honey, they're praising God because he's taking care of them. They don't have to toil for food, but he's providing for them. And that's the way he provides for us. Hallelujah. I'm going to move on this last one here. In Mark chapter 2. Now, I don't know why God gave me this, but he did. And I'm going to give it to you just like God gave it to me. That was a group of men, and they had a friend. How many of you got friends? If you ain't got no friends, don't raise your hand. I talked to a psychiatrist one time. He told me, he says, I bet you got a lot of friends. I said, oh, yeah, I do. At least I think I have. That's what I told him. We won't go any further with that conversation. But anyway, that was a group of men that had a friend, and this friend was paralyzed. How many of you take your loved ones to the Lord when they're sick or when they're in need? You take them before God? Well, when you take them before God, do you believe what God's word said? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, I know what some of you are saying. Well, I know, but everybody doesn't. Yep, I agree with you. They don't. I don't claim to have the understanding of that. I don't know why that is. But I do know that God heals. And I'm going to go to him anyway. Whether he says yay or nay, I'm still going to him. Because I know he's going to give me the right answer. But we can take our loved ones. And these guys had this friend that was paralyzed. He was so sick that he couldn't even believe for himself. And God took him. I mean, they took him to Jesus. They heard he was in a house preaching. And they thought to themselves, if I could just get him, if we could just get him there to the Lord, I know that he will be made whole. And when they took him, when they got to the house was full. It was packed. The outside was packed. They couldn't get into the house where Christ was preaching. They could have went back home. They could have said, look, man, sorry about your luck. But we can't get you in. We're just going to have to go back. We're going to have to take him back. How many of you know we have to be persistent in our walk with Jesus Christ? Yes, indeed. These guys thought to themselves, wait a minute. There's got to be a way that we can get him in. And they thought about the roof. And you see, back in those days, they had steps going up on the roof. They would go dry the flax and stuff like that on the roofs. They carried him up on the roof and on a bed, on a cot. And they tore the roof up, and they lowered him down to Jesus. And the word of God says, looking up, seeing their faith. He spoke to the man and said, their faith has made you whole. And the man took up his bed and left. Hallelujah, praising God. Let me tell you something. God will follow through on his promises. He will follow through on what he says he will do. Abraham risked everything on a promise. But God came through, didn't he? He risked everything on a promise. But he knew. He knew. He didn't waver at the promise of God, though unbelief, when we waver, is not the promise that fails, but our faith. Yes, indeed. We can't waver on the promises of God. These promises are faithful and true, and we have to do what the Lord our God says. Now, I had a friend, and you know, when immediately after the man was healed, they began to chastise Christ. They begin to say, oh, he's blaspheming. He's forgiven sin. Only God can forgive sin. You're going to meet opposition. You're going to meet people that will say, I don't want to believe in that. I don't believe in this. I had a friend of mine told me one time, and my friend Tony back there, his wife, she had, I don't know how many surgeries. And she had several surgeries, hernia surgeries. And happened to be be in Sam's one day. Well, I said something to a husband one time, long time ago. And he spouted it off at me. Well, I can tell you one thing. Ain't no man going to heal nobody. No man don't heal nobody. But God works through us. They happened to be in Sam's. And I saw the pastor earlier, him and his wife in Sam's. And I run up on this couple. And I said, Elaine, how you doing, honey? Not good, she said. I'm tired of being sick. I said, you're tired of being sick? She said, yeah. Well, it hit me. She's tired of being sick. I said, you wait right here. I run through the aisles and I got him. I said, come on, pastor. Come on here. You got to go with me. He said, what is it? I said, I got a woman up here that says she's tired of being sick, brother. And we need to pray for her. Oh, you prayed for somebody in Sam's? Well, certainly I did. It won't no waiting because I didn't think I'd ever, maybe I might never get the chance again. Let me tell you something. There's an old saying that I have a lot of times. You got to strike when the iron's hot. You know what I'm saying? When the Spirit of God's there, you better move. Where's my sister? There she is. Dreamer. I love that woman. I'm going to tell you right now. That's my sister. Me and, we've been through some stuff, ain't we, Dreamer? Yes, indeed. God told me to go over and pray for Dreamer. And Margaret Lawhorn was in there. And I walked into that room, and just in a few minutes, I was going to say a few things, and then I was going to pray, but the Spirit of God was on me. Did I tell you that, Dreamer? We didn't talk. We prayed. I felt the presence of God, and God said, now's the time to pray. And I began to pray for her. Not that I'm somebody. No, but I was being obedient to God, and Dreamer was receiving what God had brought. And God touched her that day. She was due for was it a transfusion? And the doctor came in and told her she didn't need one. Praise God. God's still in the healing business. I'm telling you, he is. He's still in the healing business today. God will do what he says he will do if we just trust him and put our trust. Whatever he's promised you, he's gonna bring it to pass. Loved one, let me tell you something. I got one child that serves God. I've got five children. 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. And the 6th one on the way. Great did it. God said if I would serve him, that he would save my family. I pray for him. And I'm trusting God to see him come in one by one. I'm seeing. Hey, let me tell you something. I went and preached a service one time in another city. And my family went with me. A lot of them went with me. Some of them were saved, some of them won't. That day, when the altar call was given, 7 members of my family came and knelt and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to tell you that all of them still serving God, but the majority of them is still serving God today. Praise God for his promises and the power that he has to fulfill those promises. You know something? I don't know what your situation is today, but God can help you if you allow him to. It makes no difference what's going on in your life. I want you to stand with me today. I don't know what's going on in your life today, but you know something? God does. He knows everything about you. He says, I know the hair on your head. Every one of them is numbered. And when one of them falls, he knows about it. He knows about it. Your situation may be bleak this morning. But I'm telling you today, God can help you. God can take it and turn it 360 degrees. He can turn it around. He can give you the victory that you need in your life. You might be facing some trials and tests, but I want you to know something. God will take you right through every one of them if you will put your faith in him. Now, my sister's playing a hymn here today. How many of you ever heard this song, Living by Faith? Any of you remember that? Man, oh goodness. It's page 260. It's page 260 in your hymnal. I just want to read the first verses here to you. It says, I care not today what the morrow may bring. If shadow or sunshine or rain, the Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my weary is vain. Though the tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on in the strife. Praise God. How many of you think you could help me sing it? I'm not a singer. I don't have a singer's voice. I love to sing and I love these songs because it's the promises of God. Praise God. You want to give it a try? I know some of you old saints in here know Tracy, Stitt, and Carol. I know y'all know this song. Page 260 in your hymnal. Living by faith in Jesus above. Let's sing it. I care not today what tomorrow may bring. Will the sunshine or shadow or rain? The Lord I know ruleth for everything. And all of my weary is vain. By faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love, from all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on in the strife. Come on, sing it, church. Living by faith in Jesus above. Trusting, confiding in His love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through. No matter what evil betide, why should I then care though the tempest may blow if Jesus walks by my side? Come on, church. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. In His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. Master so gently will lead us away beyond that heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith. Praise God. How many of you are living by faith today? You're trusting God. Let me tell you something. If you need Jesus this morning, you need somebody to pray for you. Make your way down to these altars. There's a lot of us in here that will pray for you. We want to pray for you. We've been where you are. The Word of God says to comfort one another, wherewith we have been comforted. I'm telling you, when you've been through those things, you know how to comfort someone because you have been comforted by God. Praise God. Let us bow our heads. And I'm going to say the blessing and we're going to eat. And we're going to go over and have a good time in the Lord today. Fellowshipping. And enjoying some good food. But if any of you want to pray or you need to pray, you come right on down to these altars. Don't let this stop you. Don't never let anything take the place of you coming to the throne room of God. Let me tell you something, the food can wait. Now's the day. Now's the day of salvation. Yes, indeed. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank you today, God, for your word, Lord. We thank you for that food, Father, from your holy word, Father. Lord, it's food for our soul, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you and we give you praise and glory today, Father. Thank you for the wisdom and the knowledge and the anointing of the Spirit of God to minister your word and rightly divide your word today, Father. Lord, as we move over into the next room here, Father, the food that's been prepared, Father, we pray today, God, that you'd give us a good time of fellowship, Lord, with our brothers and sisters, Lord. Be in our midst, God. Bless the food this day, Lord. Father, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, Father. It's in your precious name I ask these things. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Praise God. Anyone like to be prayed for or you need prayer, you come right on down. I want to be here with you. Let me come down and where I can pray for you.